feel the shadows deepen. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new?
And that is going to be our pre-worship song that we're going to be doing next Sunday morning. So just giving you that little bit of preview here on Sunday night. Want to welcome you for joining us there on all of our social media platforms. We are online only tonight, but just wanted to welcome everybody, whether you're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, follow, subscribe. Do all those things that helps to get the word out there. It's just unreal how that helps with all those algorithms. So please be sure to do that. Comment in each one of those that you can, and encourage you to share that with your friends. Want to welcome to those also who are on our phone live streaming. Thank you for being with us tonight also. If you know someone who needs that number, please call the church office. We'll be glad to give that number to you. Also want to encourage you, if you have the church website, if you can access that at home, want to encourage you to go to HighlandBaptistChurch.com. It's under the info tab there. You can download the worship bulletins for tonight. You've also got the children's worship bulletins, one for ages 7 and up, one for ages 3 and up. We have paper copies of both of those here at the church. And then also under that same info tab is the prayer list. So I encourage you to take the time to download that, to be praying through those individuals on that prayer list. While you're there also on the church website, I want to encourage you to do your offering there if you've not done that already. It's a real simple platform, secure platform also set up there for you to be able to do that. Just go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab there. You can do your regular online giving. You can do your gold, you can do your Lottie Moon Christmas offering, as well as the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Trying to mention both of those here as we're kind of in between both of those. We're getting ready coming up the end of February, the 1st of March there, to emphasize our Annie Armstrong Easter offering. So just want to make you aware of those things. And then also, just want to remind you, if you've not filled out one of these connection cards, we mentioned this morning, just want to make sure, if you're getting the connections that you want, whether it's the newsletter, the call outs, the text calls, you're getting things in the mail from us from the church, then you probably don't need to do anything. If a telephone number's changed, if an email address has changed, please fill out one of these forms or call the church office and we'll be glad to fill it out for you so that we can make sure you get we get your information correct in the system there so that when those call outs go, you'll be able to get that. Also, just want to remind you also about the YouVersion Bible app. We have that's available. You can scan the QR code that's on your screen there. We do have a special prayer challenge that we're emphasizing there of reading through the scripture, 30-day prayer challenge. Want to encourage you. That's by Jack Graham. It's a wonderful, wonderful Bible reading plan there. It will guide you through some prayers also. So I encourage you to take the time to download that. All you have to do is download that from either any one of the app stores, discover our church on there, set our church as your church, and then it will show you the Bible reading plan. You just click on that, Bible reading plan, Lord, hear our cry. We'll put a new one up at the end of February, 1st of March. And so just want to encourage you to take the time to do that. Also, don't forget that we have the men's night of worship that is coming up also. That's coming up February the 28th. There's a barbecue competition with that. Hopefully everything's going to be good weather. That's over at Rutledge Falls Baptist Church. The meal will be at 4 o'clock. The service will be at 5. There is going to be a ladies' night of worship. I believe that's coming in April. And so we'll share more of that as soon as that information gets sent to us. But I think that's what they told us this past week. So you can call the number that's there on your screen. You can use the address there, the email address to register. You can scan the QR code, or you can just simply call the church office and we'll get you connected where you need to get connected there. And then finally, we mentioned this morning, we're going to share more details about this coming next Sunday. We are emphasizing prayer throughout this year, and one of those ministries, one of those opportunities we want to encourage you to be a part of is the Bless app. You don't have to have the app itself to do it. We can provide you paper copies of your neighbors' names so that you can be praying through those names. You could be building relationships with them, encouraging them, sharing the good news of the gospel with them over this next year, but especially to be praying for the people in your area. When you scan that QR code, you're just going to sign up to be a light, is what it calls it there. So you're going to be, we're becoming a community of lights, if you will, to begin using this Bless app to transform our neighborhoods with the love of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage you to sign up there. There's no cost for it. All it is downloading the app into your device there, phone or iPads or tablets or a computer. You can get on a computer also on it. It will connect you to our church. It'll ask you, if you're connected to a church, you just search for our church, and it will show you there. You connect to it. But again, we'll share more about that in the coming days. We're going to share some of why we want to do that, why we want to be praying for those individuals. So just wanted to once again share that with you. As we begin our service tonight, we want to have just a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing our hymn to begin with. We're going to sing, they're not the ones that are in my bulletin, so if you have a bulletin, they're not those. We'll get to those in just a moment. But let's just go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll get the screen there for you. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for your blessings tonight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with each and every one of us. Lord, we know it's cold out. We know that many people have been stuck inside, especially those who are continuing, Lord, to be suffering from the power outages, from not being able to get out in Nashville and many other places, Oxford, Mississippi, many other places across the Southeast that are not used to this kind of weather, even over into the Carolinas. And so, Father, we just pray that you will have your hand of mercy and grace upon those people. Have your hand of mercy and grace on each one of us tonight as we come to worship you here via live stream. And Father, I just pray that you would just pour out your Spirit upon us in a special way. Lord, be with us as we are maybe not in person with one another. We're in the comfort of our homes, but yet, Lord, help us to treat this time as a time of worship also, to stand for the reading of your word, to sing the songs and hymns, Lord, that we would not be complacent though we're at home, but Lord, to be keeping you at the forefront of all that we're to be doing. So bless this worship service tonight that's live streamed. Father, we just pray for your will to be done, for your name to be glorified and honored. Watch over us in the coming week. Be with those who have been sick, those who have upcoming surgeries, as well as those who have just come through surgeries. We pray for your healing hand to be upon each and every one of them. So Lord, thank you for all you're doing, and we ask your blessings on our service tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we want to encourage you. You probably don't have this at home, but it is "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus," number 305. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles there at home with you, I want to encourage you to take them out and turn to the book of Hebrews. We're continuing our walk through the book of Hebrews. We didn't have church last Sunday night. That's one of the reasons I wanted to go ahead and have at least an online service tonight, to kind of keep us going as we continue here in the book of Hebrews. We're studying that great hall of faith here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 23 through verse 29. I've entitled this message tonight, Faith to Follow. We've been going through various biblical characters, especially in the Old Testament here in the book of Hebrews. So as we come to tonight, you're going to see another special individual that we're going to look at that we would probably expect to be in this Hall of Faith, even though there were things. He was not perfect in his life. He did sin also. As you're going to look at these verses that we're going to look at tonight, these verses will describe a man who lived in Egypt, which was one of the most corrupt, immoral, and materialistic, idolatrous societies that the world had ever known. And yet, in the middle of that culture, Moses lived a life of faith and courage and purity and obedience. Not perfection, but faith, courage, purity, and obedience. He didn't just survive in a godless society. He triumphed in that. And so, you know, there are moments in our lives when the path forward is not only unclear, sometimes it feels completely blocked. We know what it's like to stand many times in a place where every visible option that we can see seems dangerous, seems confusing, or even hopeless. You know, we search sometimes for a way forward, but there's so much smoke in front of us, the smoke of fear or uncertainty that's so thick that we can't even see many times just a few steps ahead. And yet it's in those moments that faith becomes more than just a word. It becomes a lifeline between us and God. Now, there's a true story about a group of soldiers who were fighting a forest at Fort Dix. They were surrounded by flames. There was choking smoke. There was blistering heat. They could not see a way of escape. And then suddenly, a small plane flew low over their heads. The pilot dropped weighted notes to them three times. He did this, and this is a true story. And the message on those notes was clear. As they're in the midst of this place, surrounded by flames, the smoke is choking them out, there's blistering heat, they cannot see a way of escape, and the message on each one of those notes, three times that he dropped, said this: "You're surrounded by fire, and you will perish unless you act immediately." It said, "There is one narrow corridor of escape, but soon it will be gone." Those men found their way to safety following the instructions from those notes. They couldn't see a way out from where they stood, but they trusted the message that came from above. They obeyed that message, and they were saved. And in many ways, that's where our world is today. We're surrounded by moral confusion. We're surrounded by spiritual darkness. We're surrounded by broken families and cultural chaos. And the smoke of this world and this life is thick. And the heat is intense. But here's what we need to remember: God has not left us without direction. He has given us a message from His Word. And as we're going to read here in Hebrews 11, he points to this man who shows us how to live victoriously in a godless society, how to have faith to follow in the midst of anything, whether it's chaos, whether it's brokenness, whether it's the heat of life. And so this man we know already, as we mentioned before, is Moses. He grew up in Egypt, one of the most powerful yet immoral civilizations in history. He's surrounded by all kinds of wealth. He's surrounded by false gods. He's surrounded by luxury and corruption. And yet Moses did not become a product of his culture. Instead, he became a servant of the living God. Now, the writer of Hebrews tells us that Moses lived by faith, not by sight, not by comfort, not by convenience. So if you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23 down through verse 26. So would you stand as we read God's Word in honor of His Word, even though you're there at home? Verse 23 says, By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Wow. What a powerful verse that we read there. In fact, it goes on in verse 26 and says, he considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we bless his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Father, I pray that we would see in this passage tonight, Lord, how to have the same kind of faith that Moses had, to have a faith to follow you, that no matter what the circumstances of life are, no matter what the troubles or the valleys are, no matter if we're on the mountaintop, Lord, that we will always keep following you like Moses did, no matter what. So bless your word tonight in a special way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated. The first thing I want you to see from this passage tonight is that Moses made a firm decision. He made a firm decision because he saw the invisible. We saw that there in verse 24 where it says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He also considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. So how did Moses make that firm decision? What was it that caused him or helped him to see the invisible? We need that, and we need to know, how do I do that? How do I do what Moses did in the face of all that Moses faced? Well, one of the first things we see is that Moses saw beyond his position. You know, faith redefines who you are. Moses had a name that opened doors. You'll remember as verse 23 is telling us there, when he was born, his mother, there had been an edict from the king that all the firstborn were going to be killed, all the baby boys of the Hebrews were going to be killed, and his mother took him down to the river, put him in a basket, wrapped him up in some swaddling clothes there, placed him in the basket, and then placed that basket in the river in the bulrushes there to hide him from those soldiers who would come to kill him, and placed him there. And you remember that it was Pharaoh's daughter who came down to the river, and she was bathing, and she heard a baby crying. She saw there in the bulrush the basket that had Moses in that basket. She saw it. She had her servant go and get it, and she adopted him basically as her own son. So he grew up in royalty. He had a name that opened doors. He had a family connection that gave him authority, unlike other Hebrews would have had. He had wealth, he had comfort, he had influence, he had privilege. All he had to do was sit back in the lap of luxury and just coast through the rest of his life. He did not have to do what he did. He had servants who were waiting on him. As the adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter, he lived inside palace walls. There were guards who protected him. His future was secure. And all of that was as the world, at least in the eyes of the world, he was secure. But when you read verse 24 there, it says that by faith Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now that word refused is a very strong word. It means rejected. It means renounced. It means disowned that identity. I mean, that would be horrible in some ways. Some people might not think it is, but it would be to renounce your family name, to disown your family. That's what Moses was doing here. The things that encompassed all of that in being Pharaoh's daughter. He rejected it. He renounced it. He disowned it. And Moses was not confused about who he was. He simply refused to let Egypt define him. You know, there comes a moment in every believer's life when we have to decide who we truly belong to. The world wants to label you. It wants to shape your values and your priorities and your identity. But faith says, I belong to God. We said there, Moses could have stayed in that palace. He could have quietly served God over on the side. But that's not what faith does. Faith demands a clear break. And Moses knew this. He knew that as long as he was known as Pharaoh's son, he would never fully belong to God. Now, when you begin to put that into terms for today, that same conflict exists today. You cannot fully identify with the world and fully identify with Jesus Christ both at the same time. You know, one is eventually going to replace the other. And Moses understood that his position in Egypt was temporary, but his position in God was eternal. So he let go of what was visible so he could gain what was invisible. So the question we need to ask ourselves is, who defines you? Is it your job? Is it your success? Is it your past? Is it your family name? Or is it your relationship with Jesus Christ? Because understand this, when faith becomes real, identity changes. And so we see that Moses saw beyond his position. Moses also saw beyond his pleasure. He understood that faith refuses short-term satisfaction. Look over at verse 25 again. He says there that he chose rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin. You notice this. Notice that the Bible does not deny that sin can be pleasurable for a season. It also reminds us, though, of that pleasure is temporary, while the consequences are lasting. Moses understood that Egypt could satisfy his flesh, but that it could never satisfy his soul. He saw that what looked attractive at the moment would eventually lead to emptiness and loss and loneliness. So he makes a deliberate choice. Understand that faith is not something that happens by accident. It is intentional. Moses chose obedience over comfort. He chose holiness over convenience. He chose truth over temptation. You know, so many people today live for the moment. They sacrifice their future for the present pleasure. They trade peace for passion. They trade joy for indulgence and purpose for popularity. But Moses saw beyond that moment. He knew that the pleasures of sin fade quickly, but the rewards of obedience last forever. That's what faith is. Faith is choosing what is right, even when it's hard, because you see what others can't see, because you're looking through the eyes of God. Notice what else Moses saw. Moses saw beyond his possessions. He saw beyond his possessions. You know, what we learned there is that faith values the eternal. Look again at verse 26. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Now, it says there, Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. Egypt's wealth was unmatched in that day. They had gold, they had silver, they had monuments, they had pyramids, they had palaces, they had power. They were the big dogs on the block. And yet Moses counted all of that as less valuable than obedience to God. Now, that word there, considered, means that he calculated, he measured, he weighed the cost. You know, when we're making decisions in life, that's what we need to do. We need to be considering. We need to be measuring. We need to be weighing out the cost of things in our life. Moses compared two treasures. And the two treasures that he was comparing were Egypt's gold and Christ's glory. And he decided, I'm choosing God. I'm choosing Jesus. Why? Because he had his eyes on eternity. He believed God's promises. He trusted the reward. You know, faith sees what money cannot buy and what the world cannot give. And Moses saw the invisible. He saw God. He saw Christ. Although Christ was still, his coming was still out there in the future, he saw the promise. He saw eternity. And because he saw clearly, he lived courageously. That's what we see about Moses to begin with. But secondly, I want you to see that not only did Moses make a firm decision, he made a full departure. He made a full departure. He realized that there is a price to pay. So notice verse 27. Verse 27 tells us that by faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Let me start by telling you this, that seeing is only the beginning of faith. Vision that never moves us to obedience never becomes nothing more than inspiration. God never reveals truth simply to inform us. He reveals truth to transform us. So when Moses here saw the invisible, that vision that he saw, the future that he saw of trusting in God demanded action. What he believed in his heart had to be expressed in his steps. So put that where you are tonight. If you're watching tonight and you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, let me ask you that. You believe in your heart what Christ came and did for you. He died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, arose on the third day, came to give you eternal life. The question is what you believe in your heart, is it expressed in your steps? You know, many believers stall at this point. They know what's right. They sense God's direction. You maybe even feel conviction, but you hesitate. You stay standing in Egypt while longing for Canaan. You admire faith, but never exercise it. You agree with God in theory, but you don't follow him in practice. So understand this, Moses didn't make that mistake. His faith, his trust in God, moved him from contemplation, from thinking about it, to commitment. It moved him from vision to action. It moved him from knowing to doing. And that's why you come to verse 27 there, and it says, by faith, he did what? He left Egypt. By faith, he left Egypt. And so Moses didn't simply admire God. He obeyed God. To live by faith means that you have to be willing to walk away from whatever is comfortable in your life in order to walk towards what is eternal. And that requires in our hearts courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's still going to be fearful when you take those steps of faith. So courage is not the absence of fear. It is the decision to obey God in spite of the fear. Moses feared God more than he feared old Pharaoh over there. And that reverence to God gave him the strength to move forward. When you live for the imperishable, your life begins to look different. Your priorities begin to shift. Your values begin to change. Your desires are transformed because you no longer measure success by whether you feel comfortable or not. You no longer measure your success by how much money you have in the bank or how much money you have in your 401c3. You never measure success by approval. You measure it by obedience. And so notice here that Moses made a clean break. Faith in God requires a full departure. In verse 27 there of chapter 11, when it says that Moses left or forsook Egypt, that word means he abandoned it completely. In other words, he didn't try to reform Egypt. He didn't try to say, well, maybe if I just change things over here, I can stay where I'm at. I don't have to leave the comforts of what I'm doing. So he didn't try to reform Egypt. He didn't compromise with Egypt. He did not remain emotionally tied to Egypt. The Bible says there that he left Egypt. And that's where many believers struggle. They want to follow God, but they also want to keep Egypt in their back pocket. They want Jesus, but they also want the world. They want holiness, but they also want to give. They don't want to give up the things that are comfortable to them. Pharaoh tried to trap Moses with compromise. In Exodus chapters 8 through chapter 10, Pharaoh offered four alternatives that are still common today. Remember what he said to Moses as Moses kept coming back to him saying, God has said, let my people go. Pharaoh offered him four different alternatives. He said, first of all, stay in Egypt and worship your God here. You want to worship your God? Just stay here. You don't have to go over there to do that. In other words, what Pharaoh was saying there was just blend your faith into our culture. Don't be different. Don't stand out. Just keep your religion private. He offered another alternative and he said, well, don't go very far. That's the temptation to follow God halfway. You know, sometimes what we want to do is to obey God in what's convenient, but still keep control over our lives. The third option that Pharaoh gave to Moses was, well, you guys can go, but leave your kids here. Leave the children here. And that's the trap of generational compromise. It is faith without discipleship. It is religion without legacy. And then finally, Pharaoh offered another option, and he said, well, you can take your kids with you, but leave your livestock here. Leave your livestock behind. That was about possessions. And Pharaoh wanted Moses to remain financially and emotionally attached, tied, if you will, to Egypt. But the scriptures tell us there that Moses refused every offer. His answer was simple and unwavering. There shall not a hoof be left behind. Go back into the book of Exodus and you'll see that he said that. That is total surrender. So what we learn from Moses in that respect, in being able to live in a faith that follows God no matter what, is faith requires a clean break. You cannot walk towards God while you're clinging to the past, while you're clinging to what He has called you to leave. In other words, partial obedience is disobedience. Notice also that Moses endured through intimidation because faith sees beyond the fear. The Pharaoh tried to intimidate him. The Bible says that Moses didn't fear the wrath of the king. He was not afraid of the anger of the king. Now that doesn't mean that he never felt any fear, because you remember when he was standing at the burning bush, he was asking the Lord, well, why would you send me? He was afraid of going, and who am I to speak before the Pharaoh? But yet, what we see about him is that he endured because he kept his eyes on God. Not because he didn't feel any fear. It means that fear didn't control him. Fear is one of the devil's greatest tools. Fear of rejection. Fear of loss. Fear of failure. What if your friends don't want to have anything to do with you anymore for following God? He tempts us with the fear of change. But understand this, faith lifts our eyes above the fear and reminds us that God is greater than any threat you could ever face. When you focus on circumstances, fear grows. Peter learned that when he walked on the water to Jesus. When he saw the circumstances around him, he began to sink. So when you focus on your circumstances, fear grows. But when you focus on God, faith begins to grow. So Moses endured because he saw the invisible and he remembered who was truly in control. Another thing we see about Moses is that he trusted God's protection. He trusted God's protection. You know, faith depends on the blood. Hebrews 11:28 tells us this. That by faith he kept the Passover. So you remember in the story of the Exodus, that's one of the primary things that happened. You had the plagues that were sent upon the people of Egypt, and then it finally comes down to whatever you say, Pharaoh, next. That's what the next plague is going to be. And he said he was wanting to see the Hebrew people's sons be killed, and in fact it was a turn back on him, and the firstborn of all of Egypt would be killed. Everyone who did not have the blood over the doorpost there. And so Hebrews 11:28 tells us that Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood. The blood on the doorpost protected the people from judgment. When the angel saw the blood, he passed over. You know what that was a picture of? By faith, he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of the Lamb. That is a picture of Jesus Christ. Understand this. We are not saved by our goodness, but we're saved by his sacrifice. We're saved by the blood of Jesus. That is our covering. That is our protection. That is our peace. And that's why when you're covered by the blood, you don't have to fear what man can do to you. Faith doesn't trust in our efforts. Faith trusts in grace. Living for the imperishable requires courage. It requires surrender. It requires trust. And so Moses left Egypt behind because he saw something greater ahead. Faith always moves us forward. But then our third point is that Moses discovered a faithful deliverance. How did Moses have this kind of faith to follow? Well, he made that firm decision. He made a full departure from the past, from Egypt itself, from the world. And when he did that, he discovered a faithful deliverance. Understand this. Number three there never happens without number one and number two. You can't just skip to number three and say, well, just skip. I want to go to number three. Moses had to make that firm decision. You have to make that firm decision. Moses made a full, clean departure from the past. You have to do that also. Then you'll discover the faithful deliverance, because there is power for us to experience. Notice verse 29. It says, by faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. So as we said before, there comes that moment in the life of the faith, of every life of faith, when obedience brings you to a place where you cannot go any farther on your own. You don't know what is out there. You don't know how to move forward. You've seen God clearly. You've left behind the past. You've left Egypt behind. You've trusted the blood of the Lamb. And now you stand facing what appears to be an impossible obstacle. And that's exactly where Moses and the people of Israel found themselves. Think about that. They are up against the Red Sea. And right behind them is Pharaoh's army, because Pharaoh had changed his mind after he said, after God had said, let my people go, he said, y'all can go, get out of here. after they've gone and they've gathered all their stuff and they're halfway across and they're already coming upon the Red Sea, Pharaoh changes his mind, pursues after them with his army. They were angry, they were armed, they were relentless. In front of the Israelites are the Red Sea. It's deep, it's wide, it's impassable. There's no road over it. There's no bridge over it. There's no boat to cross over it. There's no visible solution. So from every human perspective, they were trapped. But understand this, what looked like the end was actually the beginning of a miracle. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. Now, if it ended there, we would wonder, how did they cross the Red Sea? Was it on a boat? Was it across some land bridge? Was it that they just waded through some shallow water to go out across the Red Sea? No, it says they crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. No road, no bridge. Faith always leads us to a point where only God can act. And that is where the impossible becomes possible. Not because of us, not because of our strength, but because of God's power. And so notice some things here as we look at this aspect here. As he discovers this faithful deliverance. Notice that Moses faces an unmovable barrier. Faith often leads us to the edge of what we could do. The Red Sea was not a coincidence. God led them there. You know, the people complained to Moses and said, "Why have you led us out here?" But Moses was just following what God had told him to do. So there wasn't a coincidence. God intentionally placed them there where human strength was useless. There was absolutely nothing they could do to rescue themselves. Why did God do that? He did that because he wanted to reveal his power. And that's what he wants to do in your life. You know, many believers misunderstand this moment. They assume that if God is leading them, that everything is going to be easy. But the opposite is true. God allows us to face barriers in our life so that we will stop relying on ourselves and begin relying on Him. You may be facing your own Red Sea right now, a broken relationship, a financial crisis, some medical diagnosis, a calling that maybe seems too large for you. You've done everything you know to do, and now you're standing still wondering, how in the world am I going to get through this? How in the world is God going to make a way? Understand this. That's not a sign of failure. That is a sign that God is about to move. Notice also that Moses obeyed without understanding. You know, faith always steps forward before the path appears. Notice that God told Moses, you go back and you read the passages in the book of Exodus there, God told Moses to stretch out his staff. That command must have sounded ludicrous, must have sounded unreasonable. The sea is still there, God. The waves are still crashing, God. Why do you want me to lift this staff out over this sea? But Moses didn't question. Moses obeyed even before he saw the result. Faith does not require you to fully understand. It requires full trust. You might not see when you're facing your Red Sea how God is going to work, but you still have to obey. When Moses lifted that staff, you remember what happened in the story? The sea parted. And God made a way where there seemed to be no way. What had been a barrier becomes a pathway. Obedience always precedes deliverance. Get that truth. Obedience always precedes deliverance. Moses also witnessed God's power. You know, there is a power for us to experience the power of God in our lives. And so God, Moses witnessed God's power. You know, faith experiences the supernatural. Notice there what it says, that the Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry land, on dry ground. The waters stood like walls on either side. You can just imagine as they're walking through on the dry land and they're looking up here at this mountain, if you will, this big, huge mound of water, and they're seeing fish swimming out there in the water, and they're right here on dry ground, and they're thinking, I need to get across as quick as I can. I'm on the dry ground. Let's go. And they don't pay much attention to that. They just do what the Lord has told them to do. They obey. Understand this. The same path that saved them is the same path that destroyed their enemies. Notice what the verse says there. The verse says that by faith the people crossed the Red Sea on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. What is the difference between God's people in this episode and the Egyptians? Both are going through the same pathway. Both are going through on dry land. The people of God have crossed crossing the Red Sea on dry land, and the Egyptians are trying to do the same thing. But the Bible says they were drowned. The same path that saved God's people destroyed their enemies. That is the power of God. What the enemy intends for harm, God uses for good. What seems impossible becomes a testimony. And faith does not remove obstacles, but it invites God to transform them. Moses saw the invisible. He lived for the imperishable. He experienced the impossible. And at the very center of all of that was God. God. By faith, Moses. Who was the object of his faith? It wasn't himself. It wasn't the circumstances around him. It was God. So understand this. Faith isn't just believing in God. Faith is following God. It is trusting God. It is surrendering to God. And so if you'll see what God sees, you'll live life differently. How do you see what God sees? You look in His Word and you see promises where He says that even though you may feel like there's nobody with you, God doesn't know what's going on in your life, the Bible says that if you trusted in Him, He will never leave you nor forsake you. So you get in His Word. And when you see what God sees, you will live differently. And if you'll trust what God promises in His Word, you'll be able to move forward. And if you'll obey, even when you don't understand, you will experience God's power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You so much. What a powerful message for us tonight. Father, I pray that as we come before You now with open hearts, we come before You with surrendered lives. Lord, thank You for speaking to us through Your Word. Thank You for showing us, Lord, that You are still the God who opens the seas. You are still the God who breaks the chains. You are still God who leads Your people forward by faith. So, Lord, we confess that all too often we've lived by what we can see instead of what You have promised. Lord, all too often we fear what is behind us and we've doubted what's before us. But Lord, I pray right now in this moment, those who are watching with us online, Lord, that today we would choose to lift up our eyes to You. You are the one who is invisible yet ever present. You are unseen yet all powerful. You are silent yet always at work. Right now, Lord, in this moment, we let go of the past. We release Egypt. We let go of the habits. We let go of the compromise. We let go of our fears. We let go of our sins. We let go of our identities that no longer belong to us. Lord, we step out of the past and into your presence. And we commit to you, Lord, that we will not turn back. We will not settle. We will not cling to what you've called us to leave behind. Jesus, I pray that we would realize from this passage tonight that you are our Passover lamb, that it is your blood that has covered us. It is your grace that has redeemed us. It is your power that has set us free. Lord, where we were once bound, you've made us new. Lord, where we were once lost, you have called us to be yours. So, Lord, for those who may be watching tonight and they're standing at their Red Sea, they're facing impossible circumstances. Lord, I ask you to move in ways that only you can move. Part the waters. Make the way where there seems to be no way. Father, I pray tonight that you would strengthen our faith. Lord, that you would steady our steps. That you would remind us, Lord, that you are already at work on the other side of our obedience. You're waiting on us to obey by faith. Lord, give us eyes to see what you see. Give us hearts, Lord, to trust what you say. Give us, Lord, courage to follow wherever you lead. Teach us, Lord, to walk by faith. Teach us, Lord, to walk not by sight. Lord, help us to live for the things that are eternal, to choose what is holy, to pursue everything that brings glory and honor to your name. We surrender to you today our plans, our dreams, our fears, our future, Lord, even our purposes. Take all that we are and use it for your purpose. Lord, may our lives testify that you are faithful, that you are powerful, that you are worthy of all of our trust. And we step forward right now in faith, like Moses, believing that the God who called us is the God who will carry us through. We ask all of this in the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you to sing our hymn of invitation, although you won't be able to come forward. If maybe the Lord's spoken to you in your heart and there's some decision that you made tonight that you want to share with us, I'd encourage you to comment there in the comments or just call the church office. We'd be glad to follow through with you on any decisions that you've made. But let's sing our hymn of invitation, I Hear Thy Welcome Voice.
I hear thy welcome voice that calls me, Lord, to thee for cleansing in thy precious blood that flowed on Calvary. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed from Calvary. Though coming weak and vile, thou dost my strength assure. Thou dost my vileness fully cleanse, till spotless all and pure. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary. 'Tis Jesus calls me on to perfect faith and love, to perfect hope and peace and trust for earth and heaven above. I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in the blood that flowed on Calvary.
Amen. Just want to thank you so much for being with us here online tonight. Hope you have a blessed week. Just want to remind you that we'll be back with Awana on Wednesday night. 5 o'clock will be our meal, 5:25 in here for our council time. And then our service on Wednesday night begins at 6 o'clock. You can join us again here online if you need to. But just want to encourage you. Thank you so much for being here with us. You stay safe. You have a blessed week, and we'll see you this coming Wednesday.